Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen loaded with top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. Perch has been busy developing new, innovative ways to continue to deliver product education and sales support to designers and consumers. Be sure to follow Perch on your favorite social media platform for announcements about the many new programs, demonstrations, and exclusive events to come. For a virtual showroom tour and to schedule an appointment with a sales representative, visit perch.com. Today, we welcome Summer Medock of Medock Interiors, a full-service design firm and retail storefront based in Newport Beach, California. In this episode, Summer and I sit down and have a real talk about her journey to launching her design business and the mindset she has adopted to see her way through this uncertain time while remaining focused on the future. You know that saying, "I didn't come all this way to leave now"? Well, Summer and I bring life and perspective to that statement, and we're sharing it all with you. Let's get started. Summer, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Thank you, Rick. I am so happy and thankful to be here with you.
It is so nice to be doing one-on-one interviews again. It's been a little while. We are safely distanced from one another. I have long mic cords.
Yes, yes.
But it is so great to be back out and about among the design community and to talk to people like you about what's happening. This is going to kind of be a COVID series, I think, for the next few episodes, because I was truly hoping that by now this will have all had been behind us. But the reality is it's really changed our world and our lives and how we do business. And so I want to stay on topic, but for this episode and future episodes for a while, we will be talking a little bit about COVID because it's just the reality of what we're dealing with right now. But let's start with the fun stuff. Let's talk about you. Can you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us about yourself?
Yes, I would love to. So my name is Summer Medock. I am a mother of three little monkeys. They are 4, 5, and 7. And my husband, Matt, is in the restaurant business. We have grown up in Orange County, and we are fully beach people, although we do spend some time in the mountains during the winter. It's our little getaway. And, you know, I have just always been a lover of color, of textures, of creating things. And so when I launched Medock Interiors about 4 years ago, it wasn't a planned business by any means, but it was one of those transitions that took place just at that right time.
Right.
Had our third baby. I needed to get back into doing something creative again. I could feel that stirring in me.
Yep.
And Matt just said, "Why don't you start a design business? You love decorating the house." And I thought he was crazy at first.
It's usually the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, "Do it." And I thought, I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I love decorating and all the things. But so anyways, I went for it. I started posting photos on Instagram of things I loved. And it just started to kind of roll from there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So did you go to design school, or is this just kind of a passion that you've kind of cultivated over time?
You know, I went to the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. Mm-hmm. So for me, I knew I needed to be in something that fueled the activity of color manipulation and building a brand and inventing. And so I wanted to start a cosmetic line. Mm. So that's what I went to school for. and I started working for Estee Lauder. I was there for about 2 years as one of their regional makeup artists. So for me at that time, that was my creative zone, helping people find the right color match and eyeshadows and the skincare. And,
yeah.
It was very hands-on, and I loved that for that season.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's funny. We've had conversations with designers before. You're looking at my face as I'm going, oh, yeah, like this epiphany that we've talked with plenty of designers who have a background in fashion. Mm-hmm. And the connection is very obvious.
Yes.
But we've never talked about cosmetics and that art form and how it is really color-based and texture-based and all the things that we look for in designing a space as well.
Yep.
It's very relatable.
It is.
Wow.
It is.
How cool.
Yeah. Yep. That was really fun for me. We actually had these, there were these little papers. They were one-page tear-offs, and we would sit down with the customer, and we'd ask them their skin concerns. You know, what were they looking for in a makeup regimen? And so we would sit on this piece of paper, and we would take actual product and color on it and show them, here is where I would put the contour and the bronzer and the concealer. And we would literally map it out for them on this piece of paper.
Right.
Similar to what we do in design, where we're creating these spatial plans or these, you know, the elevations or the schematics. It was very similar. It was like that phase one of inventing and creating.
Yeah. So the process was probably very comfortable for you right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
How
Absolutely.
Cool. I think I'm going to get a little makeover at the end of the...
Hey, I've got some products for you.
Had I known, I would have come prepared. Right. I did shave today, Summer.
There
I did
you
shave,
go. So. Mini facials after this.
So you started your business 4 years ago, and how did it kind of evolve to what it is now? I mean, right now we're sitting in a beautiful space filled with beautiful things. Where did it start, and how did it get to this point?
Yeah, well, it started in our rental house in Huntington Beach. Mm-hmm. And that first year, I signed or I acquired multiple clients. And that growth really happened fast for me. And I didn't know at that time, I wasn't built for that. I didn't have structures in place. So I was just really kind of going with the flow, figuring it out as I went. But the first year really took off for me. So halfway through, I hired an assistant, and she was phenomenal in terms of just helping me balance it all, keeping me in check, doing the busy things that I, at that point, didn't have time to do. So she grew with me for the next year, and then about two and a half years in, our family hit a really difficult point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was left at this crossroad of continuing to build this business and pour everything into it and figure out how to scale, how to take on a large lease for a large building to accommodate multiple employees and inventory and really make that leap into the next level. And the other option was set the business down.
Mm-hmm.
Wait and figure out, is this the right time for you to go all in? We are still building restaurants, but at that time we were at a really crucial phase in the other business that we operate. And so I knew that if I said yes to this growth, that it was going to take me out of the family. And at that point we needed somebody there kind of holding the roots in. And so I decided to actually set the business down mm-hmm. for about a year. And it was the hardest and the easiest decision that I've ever made because I knew that our family needed that.
Yeah.
And I knew there would be a reward after that for that sacrifice.
Right.
So I took a year off and I jumped fully into mom life. And I love being a mom. So for me, it's pure joy spending time with my kids. It's exhausting, but there's a lot of joy in that. We kind of got to this transition of like, okay, I'm ready to get back to something.
Right.
I'm not just a mom, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a creator and I'm a business owner and I have, you know, ideas and I need to keep moving forward, right?
Right.
So I decided to pick the business back up. And Caitlin, my assistant, old assistant Caitlin, she came back and started working with me again. And had actually dabbled in a potential partnership with another designer.
Mm-hmm.
So we played around with that for a little bit. it didn't end up working out. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to go all in on this. I'm ready. I want my own space. I want to do the retail thing. You know, I want to bring back brick and mortar. People have to touch and feel. Online is great and convenient, and it has served me well in this time. But I just felt this passion for bringing it back like old school. And then you get that face-to-face, you know, and people can learn, and it's just, it's so much more fun.
And you get to touch everything. Mm-hmm. I'm so with you. I love brick and mortar. I never want it to go away. I love it. I had a store of my own for that very same reason. And you saw when I came in here the first time to meet you a few weeks ago, and I touched everything. Yeah. And when I left, I told my partner, John, I was like, oh my God, I touched everything in the store. She had to probably hose the joint down when I left. But it's just so exciting to me. I love just touching things now.
Yes. It's so true. I think that's why we love what we do, right? Because of that element of surprise. When you lean in and you rub your hands along a pillow or a sofa and it's like, ooh, that's actually really buttery. Mm-hmm. Or the textures of the baskets or the rugs. Like, there's just so much more storytelling that takes place in person.
Right. Yeah. Despite everything that's happening right now and all of the trend and all of the forecasting, brick and mortar is never going away as far as I'm concerned. I will fight tooth and nail to support it to my dying day because I love it. Just like magazines. Mm-hmm. I love print.
Yep.
And I always said it'll never go away. And I do feel like it's making a comeback.
I think so too.
Because of you and me.
That's right. That's right.
Summer, I'm so glad that you just talked about that need to evaluate life as it happens and how to prioritize business and the passion of design and family and all of those things that, you know, are important to us and just kind of organize them in such a way. So many design professionals are in that same place where they have to make those type of decisions and they may seem selfish or they just may seem foreign. And I'm glad that you just shared that because the reality is so many people out there are making that same decision and, you know, it's life.
Yes.
It's life, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're always faced with choices.
Sure.
And sometimes it's black and white. Mm-hmm. And other times there might be, you know, it might seem like there's only two options, but I've learned recently to just sit in that. Sometimes you have to just sit in it and wait. Like, is this A or B the only solution, the only option? And I'm learning to kind of wait on that and trust the timing. And really to move forward with full peace about whatever,
right,
whatever it looks like.
And the beauty of this industry is that you can reinvent. Mm-hmm. You can innovate your business and your approach to business and reinvent yourself time and time again. This business, it's a creative business. And so it has that flexibility and it allows us to kind of, you know, place an emphasis at a time in our lives more so at one time than the other and still remain engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. There's actually this this quote that I read recently from a Beth Moore book. Mm-hmm. And she says in the book, nothing stays the same but change. Isn't that so true?
I love
true?
That. Nothing stays the same but change.
Yeah, because it's always changing.
Yeah.
You know, business, family life, circumstances, they're always changing.
Sure.
So if we continue to fight the change, what are we serving? How can we serve? How can we build a business when we're fighting against it?
Right.
You know?
You really do have to just kind of embrace it.
Yeah.
You really do. Mm-hmm. So speaking of timing, you decided to reengage in the business of design. You decided to go all in now. Things have changed in your life and you're in a place where you can redirect your energies towards the business. When did that all kind of start coming to fruition? Beginning of this year?
It was end of fall last year.
End of fall last year. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And clearly you could not have predicted what we're up against now.
No.
And so that's definitely one of the things I want to talk about is kind of getting back in the game, going all in, the excitement of a new chapter in your life, both professionally, personally, on a business level, all of those things. And then having this, you know, circumstance come out of left field that we just have no control over. I think a lot of designers are experiencing that What's exciting about this time around, dare I compare it to 2008? Yes, very different time, but similar struggle, is the perseverance that I'm seeing among the design community to just carry on and move forward and just persevere through this is so inspiring. I love it. Yeah. Clearly, that's what you're doing. What drives that in you?
I think knowing that I opened this place, I started again. I wasn't ready to let it go. It was still burning in me for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I have to get back to that almost daily, because it would be so easy to throw in the towel because it's hard right now.
Yeah.
But I just keep reminding myself, somebody needs my service. Somebody needs my gift. Mm-hmm. You know, there is more for me to do. I am not done yet.
Right.
It might look different than what I planned, and I'm sure it's going to look different at the end of the year than what I think it will right now. But I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
And I know that.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's such a great message. And I'm glad that you're sharing that, because it's the truth. Like, it's different this time. And I think anyone that, you know, went through 2008, they learned some lessons. There's a lot of people that weren't in business at that time and they're experiencing this struggle for the first time. But I don't know. I think it's just so important to just remind yourself of your why. We talked about this. You know, whenever I get stuck and I'm like, what am I doing? What am I thinking? What have I gotten myself into? I don't think about numbers. I don't think about dollars and cents. I don't think about new business potential clients. I think about the why.
Yeah.
I think about why I started it. And that always kind of inspires me and reminds me, oh yeah, that's why you're in it.
Yep, absolutely. And I think having the right people, for me personally, having the right people around me, and I think that goes for anybody, that when we have a good community around us that are moving forward towards the same goals, it really helps to fuel the fire on those days and during that time when it's really difficult and it really doesn't make sense to keep moving forward. There's people, you know, around to support and encourage you. And I've never had a business coach before, but earlier this year I decided to hire one for the year because I thought, I'm going to do it right this time. You know, I want to open this business and be smart about it. I want to be structured. I want to build a profitable business. I don't want to just be nilly. What is that saying? Nilly willy?
Willy nilly.
Yeah, that one.
One of those.
You know, Willie Nelson. Who knows? I don't want to be, you know, willy nilly about it. I wanted to build something significant. So that's been the focus for me, is how are you going to get there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what can you do different this time around than you did last time around, those first 2 years? You know, what's the reason for the slowdown? What's the reason for the pause? What's the reason for the shutdown? Like, what are you going to do with that summer? I have to keep reminding myself, what are you going to do with it? I mean, and to be very transparent, I have not signed a design client in the last 30 days, and that is hard for my business. Mm-hmm. But there is a reason for that, because there is something still to do before I take off again, right? So I'm sitting in that, really trying to get focused and build a better business.
I love the fact that out of respect to that commitment, you have surrounded yourself with people who are smarter than you. You've reached out to a business coach. You have put the effort into learning and building so that this business can be what you're truly envisioning it to be. And you're not losing sight of that. And I think that's important. And I think it's really easy just to kind of go home and put the covers over your head and be like, oh my God, the world is just against me and this is just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, when you wake up in the morning, you're up against the same struggle.
Yep.
You know,
you can only sleep so many hours.
Right. The sun will come up tomorrow.
Yes, it will. It surely will. Although I do love sleeping.
It is nice. It is nice. I will say that. How have you relied on the design community at a time like this? Because I'm loving what I'm seeing on Instagram, in Facebook groups, and even in Zoom calls and all other forms of media.
how designers are getting together and having these real conversations and talking about the current struggles and kind of shifting the conversation to something more positive, something more forward-thinking. Has the design community kind of rallied around you? How have they supported you in that regard?
You know, it's interesting because I've deepened some relationships, mm-hmm. and I've gotten support from all different places. So a friend in a creative business, or I did an event a couple months ago, and I had a friend come by that I had never met in person before, just through Instagram. Huh. She's another designer, and she came in to support the event, and she bought products for a client, and I just thought that was so cool.
Right.
You know, it's not a competition, and we're all here for each other. I have another friend who is a designer and also works in retail, and she came over, and we just sat and chatted for like an hour in the studio. And just talked about dreams, talked about next steps and big moves and what that looks like, and just encouraged each other right where we were at. I think it's just those honest conversations. If we make time for it, mm-hmm. that there's power in it. And that's why I think this slowdown is so vital for us, for kind of breathing new life into relationships and the business and the industry and creativity and all of that.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. There is a silver lining in a sense. And I think we're beginning to realize what those are by, you know, deepening these relationships and kind of relying on our design community and having those conversations and understanding that it is not a competition. I'm right. So glad that you said that, because everybody that knows me, I've said that from day one. You know, I just don't see fellow designers as competition. I mm-hmm. see them as allies. You know, we're all in this together. And at a time like this, it couldn't be more important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we just have to humble ourselves.
Yeah.
And know we're all on this journey together. Not one is better than the other. The comparison game is so easy. Ugh. I mean, I could sit on Instagram for hours going, that's better, couldn't do that. How come I don't have a client like that? Ding, ding, ding. You know, and before you know it, I'm just sulking in a chair and I am so ineffective.
Completely,
right?
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, okay, none of that. None of that.
There will be none of that.
No. I will look at it and say, well done, whoever that is. Well done.
Right.
Beautiful home. And move on.
Yep. Yep. So let's talk about the art of the pivot, which everyone is truly experiencing right now. And clearly in fall of 2019, you envisioned a very specific direction for your business, I'm sure. And then obviously, in March of 2020, everything went sideways for you, just like the rest of us. And clearly you have found ways to turn that into a positive and to make changes and innovate and pivot in your business to respond to it. What are some maybe key pivots that you made that you can share that might help other designers who are maybe in a similar situation?
Yeah. One of the biggest things that I did here in the studio, I had already had the lease signed. Mm-hmm. So January, I signed the lease, started moving things in, really was bare in terms of inventory, but I quickly started to fuel up on some inventory that I could handle. And the smaller things, candles, diffusers, some baskets. And I really started to talk about those items. And really the accessorizing that goes along with design. So I hyper-focused on just really how to create a more inviting home, how to kind of reinvent the space, but not having to do a full redesign. There was a period, I believe, where people were really nervous to have someone come into their home and evaluate it to see if you know, they wanted to hire a designer. And so I started to bring in inventory I could handle, mm-hmm. and promoting it through Instagram and online. And that actually really helped me for the first couple months. That was how I was generating revenue to support the business. And then just reaching out to local people and furthering relationships and tapping into my own personal reach. And I think the community did. They wanted to rally and support, and people would drop by and I'd put stuff out for them to pick up. And I just tried to use what was in my hands to get by.
Right. And I think that was a good, I think that was a really good response to what we're up against right now, because I think that you are promoting something that is accessible to people right now, because we did. Consumers immediately shifted how they purchase, you know, what they buy. Obviously, the shopping experience went to the wayside and people were spending more time in their home, and suddenly candles, diffusers, pillows, and very accessible things became very important. So I think that was a very smart kind of pivot as far as your marketing efforts. And I think more people could probably do that, you know, to really kind of maximize the market that we're in.
Definitely.
And then I also think reaching out and building relationships is really important too. And I just talked about this on a Saturday school that I recorded about showroom representatives and product representatives. And I remember when I launched my business and, you know, the economy went sideways and I had a lot of just free time in my hands. I came to the studio every day. I still went to work every day. And I avoided making contact with these representatives because, I mean, let's face it, I was a little bit embarrassed. I didn't have work, but no one had work. I don't know what I had to be embarrassed about. And I felt like I would be wasting their time by connecting with them because I didn't have jobs to apply their products to. And then I realized that, you know what, it's not so much about what you're showing me. It's about this conversation that we're having and that we're building. And then when things finally came around and I got really busy, I had those relationships with those representatives. And my God, it paid off. And I would have never had time to build those relationships in a busy time. You know, when you're slammed with clients, you don't have enough time to invest. And at a time like this, we do. So I think it's smart that you are.
Thank you. And even like to your point of going in the showrooms, and even though that's limited in terms of, you know, making appointments for some stone showrooms and whatnot, I think still getting in that environment and still being innovative and creative. Like, for example, I will, if I'm having a rough day and I'm just totally stuck, I will pull out all of my tile samples, I'll pull out my wall coverings, my fabrics, and I just lay it all out on the table and I start designing something.
Right.
Because that refuels me. That's why I do what I do, because I just love the vision of bringing it, you know, bringing it together and seeing it come to life. And sometimes that's all it takes. Is a little creative sesh in the studio, just me and my music and my samples.
That's right.
And that brings me back to life. And I'm like, okay, this is why I do what I do. I'm good at it and I love it. And people need it.
Makes you feel good.
That's right. And it's beautiful.
Everyone should be doing it. I wish everyone could say that.
That's what it's about. My dad used to always tell me, like, just do what you love. That's, and you know, and you'll be happy. Because there's a reason that you love it so much. There's a reason, there's a passion for it. And so I think I've always just tried to stick with that.
And we're very lucky that we can actually make a living doing what we love. And that's why I am so kind of dead set on making sure that everyone embraces that and that we all support each other in that effort, because not a lot of people can say that they get to do what they absolutely love to do for a living. And so I do feel like we're a very privileged group, and I will do anything to support this group. It's such a good place to be. I want everyone to be in this place. I really, really do.
And we all appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
You know, bringing more community together and putting a voice to what we do, to our heartbeat, you know?
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So Summer, despite what we're up against now, and I hate, you know, I hate to keep saying that, but it's just our reality. Despite our current situation, our current circumstance, are you still able to look forward, and do you still have a vision for the future, and are you still focused on it? Because I think that that's so important. And when designers say to me, you know, what can I do to get over this hump? I always say, think about 2021. What's going to happen next year? Stop thinking about right now. Tell me about Q1 2021. Tell me about summer 2021. And they're like, are you kidding me? I was like, oh, I'm already midway through 2021.
It's like fashion.
Right?
Already planning for the next year.
So what's your vision?
Yeah, so I want to build a brand. And I think I've started to sort of plant the seeds for that. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just design for me. I think it's that's going to become a really small portion of the business as it expands into building the brand, designing products, mm-hmm. possibly furniture. I'm not sure. I see a much bigger picture. I also have a heart for, like I said earlier, the brick and mortar, mm-hmm. an actual place. And this is somewhat of a separate vision, but it ties into the business. A place where people can come together, have community, be inspired, shop for pretty things, have their latte, like really building a place for community.
Right.
And that's definitely something in the future. I have no idea how I'm going to get there, and it's terrifying.
But exciting.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Very exciting because I see it. I know it's there. It's right. just, okay, what are my next immediate steps?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I can do is day by day, right? Yeah. One step in front of the other, and I cannot plan a week from now because I don't know what the next hour looks like.
No.
I mean, I know I have back to school night with my kids.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
We know that for sure.
Yeah. But that's about all I know, and that I'm going to have to eat at some point, you know, but so I see it.
I see it.
It's just, how do I get there?
I love it. I love it. That sounds exciting. Yeah. I know that a lot of people struggle with kind of focusing on the future, and I love looking into the future, but not in a way that I'm trying to control it, because clearly you can't predict the future,
right.
and you will work yourself into a frenzy if you try to actually predict and control the future. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. Like you said, I don't know what's going to happen in 2 hours.
Yeah.
I know what's happening right now, but I love kind of dreaming, for lack of a better
yes.
word, looking into the future in a way to kind of further develop this big picture. You know, because what we're doing right now is what we're doing right now, but there's a much bigger picture ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that you're looking forward. And really, that's what keeps me going. It keeps me sane some days.
Yes.
You know, because we're all kind of, you know, faced with struggles and challenges. And I think whenever I do want to pull those blankets over my head mm-hmm. and just sleep for, you know, 14 hours,
yeah.
One thing that gets me out of bed is really just kind of planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And people have told me that I'm crazy, and then they've turned around and said, you know what? I've tried that and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. You know,
yeah.
My partner right now is like, what are you working on? He's like, does that say like 2021? I'm like, oh yeah. He's like, you haven't even gotten through your inaugural retreat, which I'm struggling with right now because I don't know if it's going to be able to happen or not. And I'm already planning for Vegas, and I'm planning for the retreat for next year. So mm-hmm. I'm literally already in planning stages for October of 2021. He's like, that's just crazy. But it just, it's
energizing.
It's fire. Yeah.
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 Because if we lose that, if we lose the hope for the future,
mm-hmm.
if we lose the vision, if we lose the reason why, you know, then why are we doing it?
Exactly. Exactly.
And there's no reason. If it's just a paycheck, that is not enough to get me out of bed every day. Yes, I have to be able to support myself, but I can't live for a paycheck.
Yeah. That's not a why.
No, it's
not.
It's practical and it's necessary.
Sure.
We need to get paid.
Yeah.
But holding on to a vision, coming up with a new one, new dreams. I mean, I just really felt that this last couple of weeks while I was in Utah with my family, just really feeling like God was filling me with new vision and new dreams for the future, because I lost that for a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's scary. When it's uncertain, it's scary and it gets confusing.
Right.
But I could really feel that coming out of me again. It's like, yes, those are the good moments.
It's still there.
Like, yay,
it's
right?
still there.
There's still something to come. It's not over.
I always say that the excitement outweighs the horror.
I know. It's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true. Yeah, we got to maximize those exciting moments.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. All right, so let's get to our signature questions, because I'm dying to hear your answers to these. I love talking to you. I could talk to you for another 10 hours, and we just might. But we really only have 30 minutes for an episode, so they're not going to get it all. Let's start with the secret to your survival. So now, having this conversation, having understood your backstory and everything else, what would you say is the secret to your survival? And when I say that, I really mean the secret to your success, or what is it that keeps you going, you know, in this business?
Yeah. I would say the ability to adapt. Mm-hmm. So for sure, being able to adapt, but also being okay with how things are. Not necessarily sitting in it and settling for it, but being okay with it, not fighting against it, because that's when the frustration comes, right? And that's when the overwhelming feelings come and the panic. And then that's when we shut down, and we're so ineffective. Once we shut down, bye.
Yeah, it's game over.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Love that. Thank you. Love it. And what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then?
Yeah, that's a big one for me, because I think back to when I first started and I was making really good money, and I was so happy to be able to support my family. And it's just rewarding to work hard and do what you love and then get paid for it. Mm-hmm. But I what I know now, I wish I would have saved more and invested more when I had a really solid revenue stream at that time. Mm-hmm. Because I think investing is important, and it's something that I am learning more about these days, and something I want to be able to teach my kids. You know, when you get a little extra or a big chunk or whatever it is, make room for that, to put it somewhere.
Right.
And build yourself a nest egg. And for sure. Investing.
That's a legit answer. I don't think anyone has ever been that honest.
But the cushion is nice.
It sure is.
Yeah. You want to go in the grocery store and buy all the organic things, all the farm fresh things, you know?
Exactly.
I'm like, I don't have to worry about, am I going to are they going to decline my card? Did I overdo it this time?
I hear you. So when you get out of that place and into the place of shop all organic,
yes.
Protect that place by, you know, being responsible.
Yes.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, budgeting, creating the margin to set some aside.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's going to go to the top of my list of things I know now that I wish I knew then, because really that is really something I really wish, you know. I knew that.
Absolutely.
Things would be very different.
Yes.
But just like we can't predict the future, we can't change the past.
Learn from it and grow.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. And how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community?
Yeah. I think what we're doing right now is paying it forward.
100%.
Building relationships and having honest conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's what we can, it's the best thing that we could do in friendship, family, business, is have honest conversations. It's how we grow.
Yep. You took the words right out of my mouth. It's the best thing we can do. It truly is.
Yeah.
It truly is.
Yeah.
Well, Summer, I really appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation. It was such a great conversation filled with so much good stuff. And I really think that it's going to benefit the design community on so many different levels. I think that there are so many people out there that can relate to your story, to your journey. And at a time like this, I know that people are listening very closely and consuming information. And more importantly, they're consuming inspiration. Mm-hmm. And I really think that we delivered today. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. I had fun.
Summer, how can we find you on Instagram, on the web? Can you share your website and maybe your Instagram so that we can look out for you on there?
Yeah, absolutely. So Instagram is Medoc, MEDDOCK _interiors. And the website is medocinteriors.com.
Easy enough.
Easy peasy.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Well, guys, I have to say that this conversation was a real eye-opener and a real attitude changer for me, which is exactly why I do this. Summer's response to challenge is so calm and refreshing. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a pretty low-key, even-keeled guy, but right now, with everything going on, I just want to jump up and down and yell and scream. But what good is that going to do? Our conversation put me back in a place of redirecting that energy to deepening relationships with people, reinventing the roadmap for the future of your business, and most importantly, to be at peace with change. After all, with change comes new opportunity. Remember that. I truly hoped that by now, we'd all be back to business as usual. But 6 months into it,
we're really beginning to see the long-term effects that this global health crisis is having on not only our day-to-day lives, but also our businesses. Business as usual is being completely redefined, and we're not even there yet. There's a long road ahead of us, but I want to remind you all that there's an entire design community at your disposal to support you and help guide you through your journey and rally around you in support of your vision for the future of your business. We get you, and we're here for you. I hope this podcast episode has inspired you to take your business to the next level. If you love Design Biz Survival Guide, share with a friend, tag us on social media, and if you're listening on iTunes, rate the podcast and tell us your biggest takeaway from your favorite episode. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.